listening to ESPN 1000, home of the first Midwest Bank studios on State Street. This is Cap and Company, WMVP Chicago. You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood, sitting in for David Kaplan today. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We're live till noon, and then we'll join Carmen and Yurko for Crosstalk at 12 o'clock. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Or you can tweet at us. We are on Twitter. We'll interact with you throughout the show. And Jonathan, a lot to do here in this final hour, and especially with the Chicago Bears making the move yesterday, signing the safety. Clinton Dix will be in the defensive backfield for the Chicago Bears.
Absolutely. And people wonder, is this going to be an upgrade? Will this disrupt what the Bears are doing defensively? I tell you no. And the reason why is because the Bears defensively were already solid. What they're looking forward to is we will have someone that can enhance what they've already done. The core is in place, and the core starts and actually sometimes ends with Khalil Mack, because he's such a disruptor out there. We saw in limited time, not even for the full 16 games, but in limited time that we saw Khalil Mack, more times than not, he was getting the job done, making a difference for that Bears defense. So in that secondary, sure, you want it to be shored up. But the thing about the NFL that you and I both know is that you can't maintain a roster the entire time during a run. There's going to be changes. And so this change hopefully will be good for Chuck Pagano and the rest of that defensive core.
If you missed us the two previous hours, you can download the podcast at ESPNChicago.com and on the ESPN app. Jonathan said that the Bulls draft pick going forward for this season was Otto Porter. Isn't that the same thing with the Chicago Bears? Your big ticket draft pick for this season, your big ticket item was Khalil Mack, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the draft capital you gave up and everything to set up this championship window that you're in for the Chicago Bears. And I think the thing to kind of point out, based on what you just said, how do you manipulate the team and the roster as you go from year to year trying to win football games? You do it with draft picks, mm-hmm. usually. The teams that spend wildly in free agency in the NFL, those are usually not the teams that are the teams winning Super Bowls. They're usually not the teams there at the end of the day. I know last year, the Rams a little different. They spent a lot on free agents, mm-hmm. veteran players to come in and get them to the Super Bowl. But look at the way New England's always done it. If someone is, you know, a little bit past their prime or about to get past their prime, they don't re-sign them. They cut them loose, and they supply with someone who's younger, fresher, and they figure it out from there on forward. So,
but the elixir to that, a lot of that is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the bit parts that they have, you know, look at the Packers. They've signed Patriots. There are Patriots signing all over the league.
Yeah.
Patriots are fine. They're cool with that. And, you know, if you're a Bulls fan, I mean, a Bears fan going forward, and you take a look at this Bears team, this is the roster you have. You have a couple of moves that are made this week by Ryan Pace, Buster Skrine, Clinton Dix, Cordarrelle Patterson, Mike Davis, Chris Blewett, and Redford Jones will fight it out for the kicker spot. Are you looking at this Bears team, and you can join the conversation at 312-332-3776, and do you say that this team right now is better than what they were when the season ended at Soldier Field? You lose off the double doink to the Eagles, and the Eagles move on to the divisional round. Are the Bears right now today better than the team we saw on the field in Wild Card Weekend?
I think they're as good as they were last year, and I think that they can be better. I mean, listen, understand what their standard is, right? Your standard is, are you better than a 12-4 roster?
Right.
Okay, and that's pretty good because you won the division, and maybe you're double doink away from getting to where the Rams were last year. You know, I guess we'll never know, right? But when you look at the core, that's the thing I always look at. It's one thing to say our biggest player on this roster is Khalil Mack, and then it drops off from there. But there is no drop off, because when you have quality defensive starters like Akeem Hicks, like Leonard Floyd, where the arrow is pointing up, I really believe that Roquan Smith, over if he's with this team for a decade, he's going to be one of the best Bears to ever play the linebacker position. I'm gonna stake everything on that. Not just because I'm a Georgia fan and I saw every snap of him in college, but yeah. I really believe that he's solid enough to be able to help a franchise. We saw glimpses of that with Roquan Smith last year, with Kyle Fuller, with Eddie Jackson. The core is right there defensively. So to me, I think that that's solid. And then the additions that we're talking about here, we're talking about them because we're in the free agent frenzy. We're talking about certain players that can just be plugged in there. The defense, as is strong enough. Offensively speaking, the anything that you had a problem with the offense, the defense was able to take care of. I think that the one question I would have about some of the choices, obviously kickers number one, but also the running back spot. If Jordan Howard's going to be with the Bears this upcoming season, I have no problem with it. If it's Howard, if it's Tariq Cohen and the backup there, Mike Davis, who was a terrific coach and also a really good player, but now he's going to be a running back with the Bears.
Currently at Detroit Mercy.
Yes, and a terrific coach. Yeah, yeah. Everywhere he's gone, he's won. So I think Mike Davis.
A different Mike Davis, yes, yeah.
No.
Oh, same Mike Davis,
yes,
as the college basketball
yes,
coach.
Yes, yes, the joke is to have people in their minds thinking that it was Mike Davis, the old IU coach, running the football for the Bears, but you blew it. So then
I didn't want to throw the newsman for a loop there. That's why.
I think he let's turn now to newsman Dan Zetterman. Dan, can I ask you a question? The Mike Davis, the new running back for the Bears, he also former Indiana basketball coach, right?
Correct, yes.
All right.
Thanks
so now,
for asking.
Thanks. Again, Black blew it. So now, once again, we take a look now. Again, when I'm on a roll. So now you take a look here. Black would be the guy at the comedy show explaining the jokes to the crowd around him.
Yeah, well, do you see what he did there? He actually said he crossed the street
right
before. That's why the chicken crossed the road. Okay,
see,
go ahead.
That's the problem. You'd be the one, and they'd kick your ass out.
Yep. Well.
So now we take a look here at the offense. And with Allen Robinson, with Trey Burton, okay, with an offensive line, the thing that we didn't talk about all year is the offensive line because they were not a problem last year to give Trubisky time. So all these things are positives, Chris, for the team. And so if it's as good as it was last year, 12-4, if you are straightening out your special teams issues, if you can get past the coaching change of defensive coordinator, the arrow's pointing up for the team.
So Pro Football Focus, it's Chris Black and Jonathan Hood here singing in for Cap today on ESPN 1000. Pro Football Focus has the 2019 NFL free agent deal grader. Okay, so they have all these different levels of grading these deals. They have elite, very good, average, below average. The only two deals in the National Football League that got elite status, according to Pro Football Focus, was the Packers signing Adrian Amos for a four-year, $36 million deal, mm-hmm, and the Rams signing Eric Weddle to a two-year, $12.5 million deal. Those are the only two elite deals in the National Football League per Pro Football Focus on their deal grader. Okay,
right.
So here are the three moves that registered on the list for the Chicago Bears.
All right.
Very good. That was Bears sign wide receiver, kick returner, Cordarrelle Patterson to a two-year, $10 million deal. They say that's very good for the Chicago Bears.
Because you had to upgrade that position.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to have someone back there that can give the offense better positioning on the field.
Yeah, and you can utilize his skill set outside of just kick returns. And Matt Nagy gets credit here because of his creativity and game planning. He can take advantage of that, either running the football, catching it out of the backfield, or whatever they're going to use Cordarrelle Patterson for. Under the average category, that's where you get Mike Davis. The Bears signed Mike Davis to a two-year, $7 million deal. So he gets an average grade based on that signing.
I keep hearing that, like, well, you know, eventually the Bears will part ways with Jordan Howard, and like Mike Davis is going to be in the lead. But I don't, until I see him on the field, I don't think that that is going to be the case. Is I don't know if Mike Davis is better than Jordan Howard. Maybe the same. Maybe Jordan's better than Mike Davis.
I mean, based on the stats, wouldn't you have to say that Jordan Howard's better?
Yeah.
But based on the opportunities that Mike Davis may get in this offense, he could produce just as well as Jordan Howard. Right, like, isn't that a fair way to kind of look at it? Because I think a lot of people like to say that Jordan Howard's just not very good, doesn't fit the system, can't play. I don't think that's necessarily the case.
No, maybe he's just not versatile enough for Matt Nagy, where maybe Davis can catch the football out in the flat, kind of like Tariq Cohen does. Maybe that's all going to be coming out in Bourbonnais and in preseason as we get ready for the season.
And then below average gets the grade for Bear sign Buster Screen to a 3-year deal for $16.5 million. That gets a below average grade. This was printed out before the Clinton Dix was signed to the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. So don't have a grade on that per Pro Football Focus. But I think based on everything I've read and heard, that it is an upgrade to Adrian Amos. And if Adrian Amos signing with the Packers is an elite grade based on Pro Football Focus, then I think that's close to an elite grade for the Chicago Bears, because I think you're getting upgraded at safety.
I'll take it. I'll take it, because you already, again, even if it is a negative, mm-hmm. you do have others defensively that can be able to mask some of the issues you might have in the secondary. So I'm totally good with that. I'm good with those grades for the most part. Buster Screen, a lot of penalties for Buster Screen. And again, maybe with a good defense and actually a defense with some discipline, maybe Screen will be better. But in his last few years, a lot of PIs.
So here's what Pro Football Focus writes about Screen. Screen has massive shoes to fill, as Bryce Callahan was a top slot cornerback in the league last year, but will not be returning to the Bears. Reliable in terms of health, he has logged over 400 coverage snaps in each of the last 7 seasons. He has surrendered 39 touchdowns in his coverage over the past 7 seasons. That's good money on a player who allows over 5 touchdowns a season in coverage. So they're pointing out that in coverage, he gives up a lot of touchdowns when he's targeted, but he is durable. He plays a lot. So that's the positive going for him, but he gives up touchdowns, which is a negative. Especially when you have Bryce Callahan, who was so tremendous for the Chicago Bears last season in coverage.
Yeah, well, again,
but not as durable.
Not as durable. And there is the yin and yang with that, right? So we'll see. We'll see. All I can say is that at least the Bears were able to do something. The Clinton Dix, even though there's no grade for him, I would say that's a positive, because one, he's with a good defense. Two, it's a contract year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the fact that he's pairing with someone he knows, Eddie Jackson back there, who they get along together. They were at Alabama together, and they're friends. I think that's a good thing. So, Jonathan, Chris Pluck and Jonathan Hood, sing in for David Kaplan. We'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. Where do you rank this Bears team right now across the landscape of the NFL, across the landscape of the NFC? We've seen a lot of teams here in free agency in the NFC make some moves. The Rams, the Saints, Cowboys not really, but they were a good team last year. The Eagles, they've definitely upgraded in free agency. The Seahawks, the Vikings, the Packers have definitely upgraded. I know a lot of people want to point to the fact that the Packers, they were under 500 and they've got the quarterback, but they don't have anything else. Well, they have a new head coach, and they've upgraded the roster on defense in free agency with a lot of draft picks. So you got the Packers, you got also the Panthers, the Falcons are in the mix. The 49ers are probably going to be a better team this year. Where would you settle the Bears in amongst the group of teams in the NFC?
Okay, NFC, you say?
Yeah, because
I could give you, because here's, I could give you the whole NFL where I would say, look at the Chiefs, look at the Patriots.
For
know,
sure.
Off the
I
top,
think,
right?
I think I would put them both above the Bears immediately.
Okay, then you can take a look at...
I would put probably the Chargers in the conversation with all the other really good teams.
Chargers would be in that conversation. Saints in that conversation. Well, Saints will find out. Will find out. Like, all I know is that the Saints have a better offense than the Bears. Can the Bears be able to raise the level of their offense and be more vertical? I'm looking forward to that this upcoming season. Can they be more vertical? Not nickel and diming it, not being a one-read quarterback and say, oh, that guy's not open, I'm going to run. No, it's got to be better than that. It's got to be more efficient. It's got to be able to be quicker offensively. See, I think Matt Nagy understood what he had in Trubisky. Not a bust. Not a bust. I'm saying that he's a guy that was learning this offense. And I think that incrementally, you're hoping that you could see better from Trubisky. That's why you saw the playbook. And I think at times Matt Nagy looked at the playbook and said, okay, Mitch, maybe you should do maybe that much of the playbook today. Or this defense, maybe you should do maybe that much of the playbook. It wasn't like the full Monty like you saw with Kansas City when he was the OC there.
And did he really not get to that point until the game was up against it, backs against the wall against the Eagles in that wild card game? Is that really what the offense is supposed to be? Or was he kind of doing what you suggested and like limiting it kind of as he goes? And Mitch, if you can handle it, let's try it. Because the one thing I pointed out throughout the season was you watch a Bears game, and it always felt like to me in the first quarter and the second quarter, there would be a drive once a game where he would allow Mitch to air it out. And it seemed like each and every time when he would go to air it out, there would be a bad decision made, bad accuracy, something goes wrong, and then immediately Nagy would bring it in, right? Then we go back to the jet sweeps. We go back to throwing it 5 yards downfield.
Little jazz
to,
hands.
Right? Like, I always felt like second quarter, there would be a deep shot. There would be something else. They'd try and get things going, expand the offense, and then he'd be like, he's not ready for this. And then he'd bring it back in, and then they would still be successful. It's just he was being smart, trying to limit and to protect his quarterback.
All right. Do you know what the offense is supposed to look like, right? It's supposed to look like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Well, I mean, that's what everyone wants.
No. Understand my point. Yeah. My point is because he's with Kansas City, the offense is supposed to look like that. It's not what we want, but that's what the offense is supposed to look like. But it can't look that like that because there's some limitations early on with Trubisky. That's the point.
Here's the question on the table. You're talking with Chris Black and Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000, singing in for David Kaplan today. Where would you rank the Bears with the other teams in the NFL right now? Taking a look at the NFC and the top of the board, you have the Patriots, the Chiefs. Where would you rank the Chicago Bears? I think right now today, it's safe to say they are a top five team in the league. I think it's safe to look at it that way. Because based on what you just suggested, the Rams and the Saints, are you guaranteed that they're top five teams next season? I'm leery about the Rams based on all the free agents they signed last year.
Yeah.
Free agents, that doesn't usually work well in multiple years in a row. They're going to lose Sue. I'm not sure and sold on the Rams. The Saints are interesting based on all the reasons you just brought up. I think the Bears might be sitting at the top, even though they haven't really done too much here in free agency.
Okay, a couple of things I look at, because I'm looking at offense, because that's really where we are with the NFL, right?
Yeah.
And the NFC in particular, this is because that's the question that you asked me. So what we saw last year, there's a number of teams that underachieved. I'm wondering if there's going to be a renaissance with some of these teams, especially in the NFC South, right? The Falcons coming into last season, we talked about, man, look at all that offense. There's no way that Matt Ryan's going to be able to underachieve with all that offense. They drafted for offense. They got free agency for offense. That this is going to be terrific, right? And they ended up being 7-9. Carolina, because of the injury to Cam Newton at the end, they ended up being 7-9. So those two teams underachieved under the Saints in the NFC South. Now you wonder about whether or not they'll be able to have a run, okay? Then from there, the Packers with a new head coach. I don't know if McCarthy should have been fired. Probably not. But it was, maybe there was some McCarthy fatigue in Green Bay between him and Rodgers where change needed to be made. Now, even though they bolstered their defense, the Packers did something that they hardly ever do, and that's go out in free agency and spend money. Mm-hmm. Gutekunst was able to spend money, which I was surprised, because usually they go through the draft and they're able to buy, get the contracts redone for their draft picks. So that surprised me. So I'm still a little leery. Until that body is completely dead, I'm still leery of the Packers.
So am I. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Let's go to Mike in Asheville. Where would you rank the Bears right now amongst the NFL?
Right now, I would put them in the top five.
Tell us why.
So, I mean, they got a great defense. Obviously, their offense is going good. And then even on the – I know everyone's kind of down on Jordan Howard, but – I feel his first couple of years he was a liability in the pass game, but this past year I feel like he did a great job on the opportunities that he did to catch the ball, and he turned them into sneaky long gains.
We appreciate the call, Mike. I agree with you on that, on the fact that I think that Jordan Howard's a pretty good back. I don't think he's someone that needs to be ran out of town.
No.
I think you can use them, and I think it says more about the head coach than the player, that the head coach can't find a way to use a player like that.
Okay, that's a strong indictment, because in the first 6 weeks of the season, we said, how come you're not? And again, we're not talking about 1980s football.
Mm-mm.
All we're saying is, it's like Howard is a good back. You can still run the football with him.
Yeah.
And for whatever. And then Nagy snapped back. He goes, those fantasy football people saying that. No, we just know that the best teams that can throw the football down the field and run the football, when you have balance and offense, that's a great way for you to succeed.
You need a ton of different backs, too. You need backs who can do everything for you. Look at the Patriots in recent years. They have a bunch of different guys back there doing a bunch of different things. Based on the game plan, you might get 20 carries, you might get no carries. And I think if Nagy could use Jordan Howard, I think it's possible and he would be useful for the Chicago Bears. So all your Bears calls coming up next. And we go to Tales from the Hood, Jonathan. That's coming up next. Chris Buck and Jonathan Hood sitting in for David Kaplan today on ESPN 1000.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black and Jonathan Hood singing in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000. We're talking Bears football with you right here on ESPN 1000 at 312-332-3776. Basically, the way it looks to me, Jonathan, is Ryan Pace has money. He had the money. He just decided not to spend it all, right? Like, he's being frugal with what he has. They created some cap space. They renegotiated with Khalil Mack. He's just not spent. Oh, wait, did he just... Was it all to try and get Le'Veon Bell and he just missed?
No.
Is that possible?
What? I didn't know I was on first take. No, that's not the case. What you,
is that a hot take?
Yeah, it is. It's kind really? Of a side what it's right. Kind of a sideways middle finger to him for no reason.
Well, I mean, they have the money, but what's the big ticket item that he brought in to address and to improve this team for this offseason?
He didn't need one. The name is Khalil Mack.
So you just sit on the money?
No, they didn't sit on anything.
Well, why'd you restructure with Khalil Mack then?
Okay, because he was trying to get more quality, like a haha Clinton Dix, something like it. That. I'm sure that he was in the mix and at the table, like the Sox and Bulls always are for certain players. But the point is that he didn't just sit on the money. Now you're twisting it because you didn't get what you want as a Bears fan. And that's BS.
No, I'm cool, though. I like what he got. I was just asking the question.
No, you're trying to...
I don't need Le'Veon Bell. You don't pay for running backs. You don't do that.
Well, the Jets did.
And are they going to win?
No, but it's good to have an accompaniment with Sam Darnold. There's nothing wrong with that.
He's going
to
have one
because you don't have enough offense anyway, so you need some kind of 1-2 punch. And also, Bell wanted to be there. He wanted to be a Jet.
Yeah, and that's fair. Chris Buck and Jonathan Hood.
And who says that?
Well, yeah, that's also a good point. All right. I didn't know that was a hot take. I didn't know I was coming out of the break with a hot take.
Yeah, for no reason.
Well,
like,
hold on. Newsman Danny Zimmerman, did you think when they renegotiated the contract for Khalil Mack that this money was going to be used on a big ticket item?
I certainly did, yes.
Well, that's where I got it from.
What big ticket did you want?
A ticket. That was big.
You want a lotto ticket?
I just thought there was something up his sleeve. I didn't know that it was going to be Mike Davis and Buster Screen.
So now you're going to take a crap on things that they've done when it's a team that was 12-4 last year.
And Cordero Patterson.
What are you doing? Now what are you doing now, huh?
I'm not taking a crap anywhere.
You clearly are. No. I mean, for no reason.
No, I'm not.
Now you decide to give hot takes 11:29. Now the show's almost over. Now you start heating up.
312-332-3776. Hunter in Rochester, Minnesota joins the show. Hunter, what's going on?
Yes, how's it going, guys?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Hunter?
Oh, I am good, aside from being stuck in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, some people, yeah.
Right, so anyways, I guess my thing is I wouldn't rank the Bears too much ahead of last year's team until they improve the special team. I think the Cordarrelle Patterson signing was very good, but as we saw last year, Cody Parkey ultimately lost us a second-round bye. He ultimately lost us our first playoff game in however many years, so it would just be nice to actually lock up a solid kicker. And until that's done, I can't really rank them too far ahead of where we were last year.
Yeah, it's a good call from Hunter because you take a look. Chris Blewett, Redford Jones, there's no guarantee that they're going to be better than Cody Parkey. Cody Parkey was terrible.
Yes, he was. Yeah, but you had to know that once you start seeing some kicks missed, you know, because the Bears did their due diligence for everything else, and they just thought, well, Cody Parkey will be fine. You don't out-dumb the room, and hopefully they'll have something even better than Blewett and Redford.
Redford Jones, character on Adult Swim.
Yes, so I think that's certainly, after 2 a.m., after being out, filled with brown liquor, I kind of think I turned it on and I saw the Redford Jones show, and it was terrific.
Yeah, it was on right after Rick and Morty. Right. There's an alternative universe taking place, and then here comes Jonathan into the house, flips on Adult Swim, and here comes Redford Jones, a cowboy from the future here to fight crimes in space.
Hello, everybody. I'm Redford Jones. What's for dinner?
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black, singing in for David Kaplan. Let's go to Tales from the Hood.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car?
I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood brought to you by the fine folks over at... Oh! No sponsor yet. No, no sponsor. Sales, I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Did they not get the message yesterday?
Hi, Sales, I'm here. I'm Jonathan Hood. Don't lower your eyes when you see me in the hallway. I actually work here. Tales from the Hood, the hottest property on ESPN 1000, weeknights at 8:30, and an original. Actually, I have a t-shirt. Like, we did this, we'll go back to, what, 2011, 2012, something like that.
I like the bumper sticker idea of hottest property.
Okay, hottest property on ESPN 1000, Tales from the Hood. And we're looking for a sponsor. So if you'd love to sponsor the hottest property on ESPN 1000, reach out to our program director, Adam Dunlap.
Okay, sports and stuff.
No, sports, entertainment, everything else in between.
Okay.
Yes, that's what we do here.
Right, so that's not, the tagline.
It's not the seventh floor sports and stuff. No, it's sports, entertainment, everything else in between. I don't know what you guys do around here between 9 and 6, but that's not what we do here when I'm doing my weeknight show. All right, here we go now as we take a look at a great story about a goat. Yes, a goat.
What?
Elected as honorary mayor, sworn in for the first term. This is in Fairhaven, Vermont. The new honorary mayor of Fairhaven, Vermont, is a three-year-old goat named Lincoln. He was officially sworn into office this week. Lincoln was dressed in a sash reading mayor for the Tuesday ceremony at the Fairhaven town offices. Fairhaven is about a town of 2,500 along the border with New York, west of Rutland. And so somehow, some way, the goat is named mayor. Oh, by the way, on the way out of his offices, the honorary mayor defecated on the floor.
Oh, that's nice.
Leaving his police chief and other attendees to clean up after him.
Great. Fantastic.
Like every other mayor we know, right?
Eric Ostrowski from way downtown. Bang!
There you go.
All right. Earlier today, I know you guys are big soccer fans, so I'll make it quick. The Champions League drew their quarterfinal. Here are the matchups that you get. Ajax versus Juventus. Liverpool versus FC Porto. Tottenham Hotspur against Manchester City and Manchester United against Barcelona. Those games will take place the second week of April. The semifinals will be played the first week of May, the second week of May, and the final will be in June. Champions League, Jonathan, your hottest take on the Champions League. Go.
Where's Swansea?
Swansea does not qualify for the Champions League in soccer. The favorites, if you're going to gamble on this right now, based on Westgate in Las Vegas, the favorites to win the Champions League, Barcelona and Manchester City, both at 11-4. Liverpool and Juventus, 5-1. Manchester United, 12-1. Tottenham, 14-1. Everyone else way below.
I'm going to put you on the odds couple with all that information.
Well, yeah, it's just soccer, right? And that's coming up later tonight, 6 o'clock.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with more. Dan?
Gentlemen, the college admission scandal has reached the world of sports. Phil Mickelson and Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Montana are getting out ahead of their involvement, insisting they are not involved in the scandal. Mickelson said he and his wife Amy hired the Williams Singer and his for-profit college tutoring company to prepare their children for college, but they did not do anything wrong. He insists everything was above board. Meanwhile, Joe Montana issued a statement yesterday saying his family also received consulting and from the firm, and it was nothing more than that. And then Joe Montana took a great slight at everybody involved. Quote, "Fortunately, our kids were able to pick from a number of schools to attend due to their hard work and their merit," end quote.
And merit.
I wonder, though, how many people are going to have to come out and issue statements like this. That, I mean, obviously this company not only was cheating kids into school, but it seems like they were legitimately trying to help kids get into school. And I wonder how many people, you know, that come from means utilize this service and now we're going to have to get out ahead of it and be like, listen, we use the service to help our kids do well on tests, but we are not involved in the cheating.
Right. I don't get the consulting service to get your kids into college. Aren't they supposed to just take tests and have good grades and then apply? What does this consulting service do other than pay?
I think that's for common folk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the real world, that's how it's fair. You take the test and then you qualify. in rich people world, you pay for things and you get your kids into school so they can have a diploma and they can be with their friends.
Well, there are services that everyday people can use, like the Stanford Review or whatever it's called, or Kaplan, where they help you. It is called
David?
Kaplan. Shots. It's not David.
Hey, you might come to my university, pal. Shot or no shot, you're going to come to my university. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say.
All right, Cap, I'll go.
Phenomenal. That's it? That's what happens when you graduate. You don't get a diploma. You get him saying phenomenal and pointing at you.
You get a Peloton.
That's pretty much it. Phenomenal. Unbelievable. Phenomenal. Shot. No shot. Eric Ostrowski.
All right. You guys had a little... mine story is going to be a little more X-rated.
Eric.
Well, it's all right. We'll be all right.
We can't get fired.
Danny?
I got this.
Did Danny clear this?
I do not know what the story is.
All right.
He showed me a story about NASCAR.
Right. That's it. So this article is from Britain. So the headline is, Randy Mum mortified after live streaming X-rated video meant for Brit husband with 2,000 of her Facebook friends.
All right.
So this 56-year-old mom...
Great.
Who lives in Bulgaria, her husband's working in the UK, meant to send the video to her husband. She sent it out on her Facebook page, and over 2,000 of her friends have seen it. It's been taken down. Her son's not currently talking to her, and her husband spent about 4 days without talking to her because of it.
Oh.
So this is kind of funny, because there's a relative in my family who thinks that they're taking selfies to post on Facebook, but really, they are live streaming themselves trying to take the selfie.
That's what happened.
Yeah. So, like, you know, it's just another situation of an old timer on Facebook using their phone, trying to be hip like the young kids, but doing the wrong thing. So, like, the live stream is just them looking at the photo, smiling, duck face, all those things that people do when they take a selfie.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is just live streaming it.
That looks good. Send. And that's Tales from the Hood, a staple on the Under the Hood show, my show weeknights at 7 right here on ESPN 1000. As we turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman. Dan, I want to just tell you that we noticed something in the last hour, and you could tell us if there is an issue or not. We noticed that in the 10 o'clock hour, you were you went to the bathroom twice. And I want to know, are you okay?
Jonathan, thank you for your concern. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Actually, I'm drinking a lot of water.
Yes.
As a armchair nutritionist, I think that staying hydrated is crucial, and
I agree.
I've been pounding the water today.
Hydration, the key to success.
I just want to make sure you're okay, because it's within the, you know, about 30, 35 minutes. You just kind of took a little bit more time than normal. I just want to know, do we have to replace veteran newsman? Because this is your chair. This is your time.
No, thank you for your concern. Just got a big bladder.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
All right, thank you very much.
This segment brought to you by the Chicago Sports Spectacular, March 15th through the 17th at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Tickets on sale now. Visit ChicagoSportsSpectacular.com for more information.
I mean, he was in there a lot, so I was just
making sure, just going back and forth.
Yeah, I just want to know, just like if everything's okay, if everything's in place. I mean, can't be the armchair nutritionist when you spend that much time in the gym.
Where would it be if it wasn't in place?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor or a nutritionist, clearly.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black in for David Kaplan today. We'll take your Bears calls, and Zion Williamson was fantastic last night. We talk about Duke and Zion, and they play North Carolina tonight. We'll talk about it coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
He's going back again. What? I just saw the sushi from Japan.
You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black and Jonathan Hood singing in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Thank you to Jesse Rogers and Nick Ferdell for joining the show. Danny Zetterman for the producing with Eric Ostrowski today. It says Chris Black, Danny, but I'm over here.
I just can't quit you, Chris.
I know. So my wife says.
No, she actually says the opposite.
Yeah,
she'd like to quit you. She actually would like to quit you.
Trying to give myself a compliment, and we all know the truth there.
Yeah, I know the truth for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
You're a jerk.
Yep. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. 100%. So thank you to Danny and to Eric for producing today's show. I'm Chris Bleck with Jonathan Hood. We'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 15 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. All right, Jonathan, last night, Zion Williamson was fantastic. He missed five games in a row for Duke. Comes back 13 for 13, 29 points, 14 rebounds, five steals. North Carolina Duke later on tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN television in the ACC tournament semifinal. Zion Williamson, the legend, continues to grow.
Absolutely. You saw Zion Williamson or saw some highlights possibly on your social media. It's as if he never took any time off. He had that devastating injury, blowing out his shoe, right? Comes back, and as he mentioned, he could have came back maybe two or three games ago, but I think it's smart by Coach Krzyzewski. I love Duke. Comes through and says, you know, I'm going to save you for the ACC tournament, and boy, he was just tremendous yesterday. And we talk about comps, right? NBA comps. Like who is Zion Williamson? Well, we got like four or five different guys, and anytime that you can look at four or five different NBA players and say that's who he is, that means there really isn't a comp for how great Williamson is on that college level.
It also means he's unique. He's a little different than what we've ever seen before, because if he was just one comp, then you'd say, yeah, we know what he is. We know what that player can do on the next level. Coming into this season, many draft experts thought that RJ Barrett would be the number one overall selection in the NBA draft. Now, what we've seen throughout the college basketball season, it's Zion Williamson, hands down. And I think last night cemented that because of the way the personality, his effort, everything he does, and the fact that you come back from an injury like that, you don't ease into it. 36 minutes, yeah. 29 points. You're the best player on the court. It's pretty incredible the way he showed up and showed out last night.
He did. And you take a look at guys that look like men amongst little guys. And I saw Zion Williamson, and he reminded me of how Shaq was able to dominate LSU, how Larry Johnson dominated UNLV. There's a lot of examples of watching college athletics. You say, what is that guy doing on the floor? Williamson was the best. And not just dominating down low. People will think he was just dunking the basketball. The big man's got a little range too, Chris. You see him be able to knock down a few threes in the game against Syracuse yesterday and against Buddy and the crew with Syracuse. So I thought that Zion looked like we saw before the injury.
You know, the one thing that stands out is usually in college basketball, when you see someone dominate like that, it's because the competition around them is not as good.
Right.
Because they're at a school that's maybe a little lesser known. I think we're seeing that right now with Ja Morant. He's probably worth all the hype, but let's see how he plays in the NCAA tournament against some better competition. The thing with Zion, though, I mean, that's the best competition you could face. The ACC, you're doing that in the ACC. That's incredible.
That's why tonight's going to be must-watch on ESPN, Duke against North Carolina. It's must-watch only because it's still one of the best rivalries in sports. Mm-hmm. But the idea that Zion now gets a chance to finally get a win against UNC. Remember the first couple of games, not so much. But maybe Duke can be able to get revenge here against North Carolina tonight.
Especially since he only played a couple minutes the first game, and the second game didn't play at all. Here's Zion Williamson last night on the court after the game.
Thank you guys very much. Zion, how'd it feel to get back out there?
Felt great. Yeah, I love this game. I love my teammates. So the people who thought I wasn't going to return, they weren't smart. Like, I love playing with Duke. I love my teammates, and it was great to be back.
What would you want to say to those people who question you'd come back?
I mean, they are entitled to their own opinion. You know, I appreciate the input, but I can't leave my boys hanging.
How's the knee feel?
Incredible.
And then Zion also went on to say that he could have came back a couple of games ago. And I like the sly shade that he threw at the critics, suggesting that he should have rested. He shouldn't be playing college basketball. Go to the pros, make your money, and forget college basketball. I love Zion Williamson's personality. I don't think we've seen a personality like this on the college scene in quite some time.
I like him, too. I think that he'll be very much box office. And for those wondering, he might be 6'5", 6'6", somewhere in there. But again, that body size, the ability to shoot the ball from the outside, at the powerful dunks, it's all good. But that was a shot at all these pundits and these hot takers and these people that love to see athletes quit. I thought we were in an era in which we want to see athletes perform. Now in 2019, it's like, yeah, you should probably just not play. Why not? Don't you want to see the best of Zion Williamson? He's going to play at Duke, we know, at least 1 year on his way to the NBA. So maybe for him, he says he didn't want to let his teammates down. How about that? A player that knows he's got money and he's got money in the bank already. You know he's going to be the number one draft pick. And he says, no, I didn't want to let my teammates down. Yeah, teamwork actually still is a thing in 2019.
Yeah, and you make a great point about the way we view and how you shouldn't play because of rest or this, that, and the other. It's like you got Benz in the driveway, but you don't drive it.
Right.
Right? Like, you want to show off on Instagram that you got pictures in your car, and it's a nice car, and then it's in your driveway, and you can take photos of it, and you can post those photos. You don't want to actually use it, though. Just sit over there on the side. Well, why do you have the car if you don't want to actually drive it? Right.
I just drive it on Sundays. I got it covered up in the garage.
Jay Billis after the game. Here's Jay Billis on Zion Williamson and everything he brought to the table last night for Duke.
He's back to player of the year status. His first game back. I mean, you can tell a player is 100% when he shoots 100%. And he did it with making double-digit buckets. Really a phenomenal performance. 29 points, 14 rebounds, 5 steals. He did absolutely everything. And his impact on the defensive end was every bit as big, if not bigger, than his impact on the offensive end with his deflections, his steals, especially in the first half. He proved himself to be a tremendous presence that freed his teammates up to do their thing as well. So much attention goes to Williamson that R.J. Barrett is able to attack. And, you know, you didn't see the kind of game we've seen in the past from Cam Reddish, but just a really good performance. Duke turned the ball over too much. That's something they can clean up. But with Williamson back in there, that's a national championship caliber team.
That's Jay Billis last night on ESPN. The other thing to take away from Duke and Syracuse last night was at the 12-minute mark in the first half. Duke was up 12-9. Zion Williamson drove to the basket. He got a basket. And then as he was going back down the floor, Frank Howard stuck out his foot, went to trip him. Zion didn't really trip. It was like a half trip. He caught himself before he fell. And then Frank Howard acted like, oop, I didn't mean to do that.
No, the leg was out there. It's as if you're going down the aisle in school, grade school, hopefully, maybe some in high school, and you stick that leg out there and you make that guy trip. That's exactly what he tried to do there. Was it an intent to injure? No. An intent to embarrass? Yes. Exactly what he's trying to do, because he's trying to slow down Zion, and nothing slows that guy down, not even trying to trip him.
Frank Howard, after the game, he said he didn't try to trip Zion Williamson.
I mean, if you're saying I'm trying to trip him, I don't get it. I saw the play. I realized I tripped him, and I tried to, you know, give him a little hand. But at the same time, I'm in the heat of the game with a very tough defender on me.
A little what?
You know, I was trying to get open, get the ball, you know, get the ball out fast. That's all I really remember of the play. I just saw the video really quick, but you know, he's a hell of an athlete, a hell of a player. You know, I have a lot of respect for him. You know, I'm not going to wait 4 years to get to this stage to start tripping people.
Jonathan, did Frank Howard say a little ham or a little hand?
I don't know. A little ham?
Did he give him a little ham?
Let's turn now to newsman Dan Zetterman. Dan?
Carm.
All right, that's it.
Jim Boeheim after the game said there was no trip.
As far as what people were commentating at halftime, I talked to Frank. I looked at the video. There was no trip involved out there. I don't know who was talking about that, but it was a bump, and both guys said, that's it. You know, there was nothing there. Trying to manufacture something out of nothing.
Okay, Syracuse on both fronts saying that the trip wasn't there, even though the videotape shows that there was a trip, and he gave him a ham on the way out.
Hey, maybe I should do it in this voice. So I do Carm's voice. Hey, let me ask you. Hey, you think you tried to trip him? What do you think?
Murph, actually.
Look it up, Danny. You think you tried to trip him? Look it up.
Hey, Danny, look it up. He tried to trip him, what?
According to Google, yes, he tried to trip him.
All right,
Danny, throughout the show today in the last 3 hours, we put up a couple of web poll questions at ESPNChicago.com on Twitter. What do we have?
Oh, my God.
Redford Jones, kicker, character on Adult Swim. 58% of our audience says that Redford Jones is a character on Adult Swim.
There you go.
And see, because we brought up Chris Blewett and Redford Jones, and Jonathan suggested earlier in the show that that doesn't sound like a kicker's name. It sounds like a cartoon character late at night on Adult Swim.
That's why I think it is. I think late at night, after I've gone out and I've gone to Greek Town and got myself a gyro, or as some of my ex-girlfriends used to say, go get me a gyro plate. So from there, you turn on Adult Swim, and then you have the Redford Jones Show. That's what that was.
Yeah, Space Cowboy trying to fight crimes, I believe, is what we came up with. What right. else, Danny?
Poll number two, we asked, does Buddy Boeheim look like a player that would wear knee pads, yes or no? 74% of our audience says yes, indeed. Buddy Boeheim does look like a player that would wear knee pads.
Absolutely. Any time that you have Jim Boeheim and his son, his 18, 19-year-old son out there, I expect him to have full goggles, looking like Mikan out there with the arm pads and the knee pads. I would imagine a name like Buddy Boeheim. That sounds like something from the 50s.
Here comes Buddy down the court, ready to heave it up from deep.
Here he comes, everybody. Buddy Boeheim. Hello, everyone. There he is, everybody. He shoots it from deep.
Knee pads and all with a lucky in his mouth.
I love that Buddy Boeheim's got a lucky in his mouth. I love that.
Danny, what else?
Lastly, we asked, do you know what Chris Black meant? Yes or no? 83% of the audience had no clue what you meant.
I should have told Nick, we'll let you go on this. Instead, I said a different phrase, and no one knows what I was talking about.
No, they know exactly what you're talking about. I think that's just full all-encompassing. They don't know what you're talking about any time that you're on the
fair.
Air.
That's fair.
Because you have so many haters.
That's a fair critique. We cross-talk with Carmen and Yurko next.